I've got Mitch Michael, who I'm on the air for right now, and with me on the phone. And Mitch, welcome to WKLO Radio 1080.
Radio WKLO, Louisville.
And I'm playing your air checks, your radio shows from, I believe it's 1966.
Oh, that was back when I was 5 years old.
You were on fire. You had all the energy. You sounded like a super jock, man.
The mighty niche pitch and hits with RBIs, that's records batted in, Daddy, records
batted in. And did you work with Carl Wigglesworth?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I worked with Carl Truman Wigglesworth. And he's still one of my very best friends. He's in San Antonio. He's had a successful talk career at WOAI and KTSA.
Well, he was the first guy to hire me when I was 19 years old in 1972 in Raleigh, North Carolina, at an AM station called WRNC, The Rock of Raleigh. And then the day I arrived, he shook my hand and said, "I'm leaving. Joe London is your new program director." And he had a good-looking wife. That's all I remember.
Well, he's always had good-looking wives.
And I never talked to him again, but he gave me my first break, and I was on against Rick Dees. I had to cut my power from 1,000 watts to 250 at night, and I wouldn't do it. I would click it off and click it back on again, and our engineer never showed up except once a month, so he never knew. And because of that extra power I had, I beat Rick Dees in teenagers in that pulse survey.
All right.
And they were going, what can you tell me about KLO when you were there?
Well, I went there in 1964, summer of 64, and I was the program director. I put together the staff. The magic that made it all happen was a guy named Bill Bailey, who was working in Raleigh, by the way, and we hired him and gave him $165 a week and loaned him some money for the bus ticket to get to Louisville. And then he wrote Louisville radio history after that. And then we had some great people like Lee Gray, who also went with me to WMCA in New York, and Chuck Browning, who went to WMCA. We had Charlie Knox, who became very successful in San Francisco under the name of Rick Shaw, and Wigglesworth, Johnny Randolph, and Wild Willie, Bill Hennis. Ken Douglas was an Englishman who was walking down the street. And I became acquainted with him, and he had never been on the radio, but we made a disc jockey of him because he had an English accent.
And this was during the British invasion.
He started right in the middle of, right at the beginning of the British. We had great success in Louisville for two reasons. One of them was because WAKY, which was the giant when we came in there, for some reason banned the Beatles. In early 1965, they were not playing the Beatles.
Wow!
So we came in and got an English disc jockey and played a Beatle record every hour and soared to number one. And then I was there until 1968, and we had some wonderful, wonderful talent go through that building on West Walnut Street.
And did you put a record survey in the record stores?
No, we didn't do record stores. Well, we put a survey out, but I didn't survey the record shops. The first week I was there, I called a record shop, and I got really baloney information from the record shop. And he said, "You're not from around here, are you, boy? This is the way we do it in Louisville." So I never called him back. He was the big record shop guy of the town. Instead, I just made up my own survey.
What did you call the survey?
I think it was the Kentuckiana Countdown.
Okay.
But we never said it was number one or number six. We always said the sound of one, the sound of six, and in my mind, it was this. It sounded like it should be number one, but we never really did.
What was the Coca-Cola Hi-Fi Club?
Coca-Cola Hi-Fi Club had been there for a long time. It was something that was sponsored by Coke, where they would hire disc jockeys to go out to all the different area high schools on Friday nights and Saturday nights to do a record hop. And at the beginning, when I first arrived there, they were actually broadcasting part of it. It was god-awful. They had a talent show. But we got rid of the broadcast part and the talent show on the air and just had a record hop. And then that 3 hours on the radio was actually sponsored by Coca-Cola, but it was all being done from the studio.
And do you remember the most money that you ever gave away in a cash call jackpot?
It was probably under $2,000. It was not a lot of money, but it just It captivated the market.
And you had Showcase Studios on Walnut Street?
Yeah, right.
And the kids could come by there and watch you spin the records?
We had some great people come by there. One of them became the president of CBS, and little Danny Massengale, Dan Mason.
Okay.
And the other one, who didn't stay around very often, she would come around occasionally when she was home from prep school with some of her friends, was Diane Sawyer.
Well, as Mitch Michael, the afternoon guy, can you think of your favorite song that you could jock up and jock it up for me right now so we could put it on the air?
So my theme song that I went out with was Alley Cat.
Alley Cat by Ben Fabric.
Yeah.
All right, let me hear you sign off, and I'll throw that on right now. It's Mitch Michael on Radio KLO.
Oh, and I'm going to sign off the show?
Yep.
Okay, well, I will try to see what I can do here. I would have said something like, may you do anything you want, always want everything you do, maintain and control casualness, and don't you ever do anything to cause you to blow, you're cool. Bye on you, radio viewers. The Mighty Mitch Michael Show is presented by Coca-Cola, produced and directed by Paul Boomer. The color is by Bob White. The part of Mother was played by Zsa Zsa Gabor. The part of Father was played by Bill Bailey, who will be on tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. See you tomorrow. Bye. Records are yours, Mitch Michael.